All right. Book of Revelation says, 11, 12 verses for you this morning. After this I looked, and this is the Apostle John who was speaking. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. That'd change your day, wouldn't it? Wow. Door to heaven. Okay. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Picture this, all right? So you got this green rainbow kind of surrounding the throne in heaven. Pretty awesome, eh? Surrounded the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Are you getting the picture? You got the green rainbow effect. You got 24 thrones, guys sitting on it in white with gold thrones, gold crowns. Pretty awesome. Amen? He said, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, that's just this mantra that is going up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And you got the emerald effect. You got the sea of glass. You've got the 24 elders. You've got the thrones. You've got lightning. You've got thunder. Can you get a picture? It says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Are you getting this picture? I mean, it just kind of builds and builds and builds. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Oh, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. And, Lord, we want to get a picture of your glory. Lord, we want to get a picture of your plan. Lord, we want to see what our prayers might pierce, Lord. That we might be your people. That we might have more love and more power in our lives, Lord. We'd have more of you in our lives, Lord. We desire that this morning. You come here this morning, maybe for barbecue. I don't know what you come here for, but I would pray that you would truly desire to step into the presence of God and hear his voice. Say, Aaron Bugs. Say, Lori and Debbie. I mean, to hear the creator of the universe speak your voice. Because the Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in his name, he is right here with us. So, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. Say, come and guide us and teach us, Lord. Transform our situations, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Talking about glory to get. I was been working on this series. This is the seventh in the series on prayer. And the Lord wants to pour out gifts upon us.
Amen.
Amen? I was thinking of my son playing. He's playing, Joe and Josh and Matt, I believe, were playing in a tournament this weekend. They played in a tournament last weekend. It's kind of touch football thing, kind of a warm-up for the season. They got 2 weeks off, and they'll start with the pads and all the hitting and all that stuff in a couple of weeks and really get down to it. And Friday nights will be transformed, at least until November. But Joe was playing in this, what do they call that? The passing league, right? And just basically throwing and catching and stuff. And he's playing linebacker in Vans. How many of you teenagers got Vans? How many of you know what Vans are? They're Nike skateboarding shoes. They are not football shoes, okay? And Joe's coach, I don't know if he was an NFL player or what, you know, Joe's out there running and sliding in his Vans, you know, trying, looking really cool. I'm going, Vans, really? And coach is going, Mets! You know, what size shoe do you wear, son? And it's like 13. And he goes, well, I'm going to see if I can get you some cleats, you know. And like next week he comes back and he says, come over here, Mets. And he opens his dress. What size shoe? It's 13. He goes, here you go, try these on. So now he was geared up for the game. And had a, when did you get the big interception? That was last week, right? Was it last week? That was yesterday. Okay, he had a couple yesterday. Now he's like geared up and ready for the game. God wants to gear you up. God wants to bestow glory on you so that you can have an impact for him in everything that's going on around you. Does that make sense? We're talking about glory. We're talking about prayer, reminder of where we have been. I'd encourage you to pray for me. If you don't know what to pray for me, because I am praying for you, and you can pray for one another. But the idea in your prayer as you start off is to become familiar with God. And as you become more and more familiar with him, you will then be able to discern, to understand what his plan is for your life. And as you surrender your plans for his plans, have you got there yet? You get what I'm talking about? Say, hey, you know, so we come to the Lord and say, Lord, why, I'll follow you. Just let me have all my plans. Let me just work out all my stuff. I want to be successful. I want to be famous. I want all this stuff to come to me. Am I the only one who thought that when I came to the Lord? The Lord be able to do my bidding? Lord, you know, hey, I'll tell you what. I'll give you an hour on Sunday mornings if you just work out the rest of my life. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, okay. I just hope he doesn't go long today. I'll go. But God, you know, I need my rent, I need my car, I need my kids worked out, all this stuff. But as you become familiar with the presence of God, and as you begin to line up your lives on God, you will get to a point where you surrender your plans, begin to work his plans, and you begin to bring him glory. Westminster Catechism from 1647, which was basically a bunch of really smart guys baking down the Bible and theology and everything like that into some precepts that we could follow. They said, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The chief end, the chief goal, the chief purpose for man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so we come to our focus for today, and the word we're going to take a look at is glory. This, in the New Testament, is a translation of the Greek word doxa, D-O-X-A. And there's basically two meanings, and I know I don't go to a lot of Greek and Hebrew with you guys, because I think really, hey, we just do it all in English and we don't got to tread through this. But if you go through the Bible and you see this glory, there's really two meanings for it. And one has to do with giving glory. The Bible says we give all glory to God. And what that means is that we are giving him honor and praise. Right? Do you get that? Give him glory, give him honor, and give him praise. Okay? The other aspect of glory is majesty. Mike, would you make sure these young men back here are able to, you might even slide over there by them. You can just kind of put a little of Mike's glory right upon them. Because we're talking about power and the presence. You talk about the manifest presence of God, the power of God, the presence of God that is in heaven. That is that other aspect of glory. So there's these two aspects of glory. One is to say, man, you are so awesome. And the other is to be so awesome as to receive it. Are you tracking with me? Because I'm only playing on those two different definitions the whole time. And if you're lost now, you will never get you back. Okay? So two definitions of glory. One is having it. One is giving it. Amen? Now, oh, thank you for that, Tommy. I'll take that. Now, Jesus came to glorify his Father, okay? To give him praise, recognition, and honor. That is why Jesus came. We are created to glorify God, okay? We are created as beings to put a focus and line up on him. Now, it is not as if God is some insecure person, like a, I was going to say, teenage girl who needs affirmation all the time. No, it's not that God is up there going, you owe me. No, man, God created everything. God created everything. And he created, wrong button. There we go. God created, it's a picture of our solar system. And the creation declares the glory of God, amen? And everything is lined up on him. And you see, you know, like if our moon moved like 5 degrees, we would have total death over the whole planet. If Mars moves like, you know, I don't know, 1 or 2% either way, if our orbit around the sun moves 1 or 2%, anything changes in our solar system, everybody dies on our planet. Okay, why? Because everything is just finely tuned and aligned the way God had it, amen. Right? That is how we are to be. We are created to be aligned on God because that's the way it is. God has glory, and God is worthy of glory. So my question for you this morning is, what is your focus? What is most important to you? Because people got all kinds of focus. Some people's focus is money. Some people's focus is looks. Some people just want to raise, I just want to raise good kids. Some guys say, hey, I want to have my family. I just want to stay out of jail. You know, if I can do that, I will have, you know, I will have done better than my dad did. But the Lord has such a higher goal for you, a higher purpose for you. Because when you give glory to God, you are lined up on him. And when you give glory to God, he'll pour out his glory on you. And the title of the message is Glory to Get. Because when you give glory, you'll get glory. Okay? That's why you got to know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about glory. When you give honor and praise to God, he will bestow his presence upon you, and you can be a witness for him. Amen? Are we good? All right, let's roll. The glory of God. God has glory, okay? Now, if you're going to look, if I was going to make a dictionary and write it up and I was going to have glory, this would be the definition of glory right here. Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. I love this verse, this section of scripture right here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That is the temple of Solomon, okay? It is a physical place. Isaiah was in the temple. It wasn't like he was transmuted to heaven or something like that. He goes there, and he sees God in the temple, and he says above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings, very similar to the picture that we get in Revelation, the 6-winged creatures, right? He said, Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they were covering their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And I'm telling you, folks, wherever God is, there is glory, because he manifests glory. Amen? I mean, that is the picture, that is the definition. Picture of God's majesty, of his glory. And we see that that glory just emanates and kind of flows out from his being. It is part of his makeup. He is the creator of everything. And as the creator of everything, he is better than everything. Everything he makes, I mean, anybody who makes something, it's a step down from what they are. Amen? So everything, I mean, and as awesome as that is, and we've seen some pictures of universe and stars and all that kind of stuff, and you go out and look at the ocean, you go to Yosemite, you go to Yellowstone, you go to these places, it's incredible, incredible, incredible beauty, fashioned by, and you know what? These incredibly beautiful things, you know, they regenerate themselves. You know, it's not like something that we build, we got to go polish it up in 10 years or it just looks all dingy. I mean, take a look at Ed's guitars and stuff. He's got some fancy guitars. He shines those up. But God makes stuff that's self-shining. God makes bugs that come along and eat up all the stuff that dies, so it's not there anymore. Rust, say rust. Rust will just pulverize the metal and then it's gone. Out of everything, the most glorious thing you've seen, God's more glorious.
Amen. That's right.
And that's just the way it is. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus earned glory. God had glory. God has glory. Jesus earned glory. Well, why does Jesus need to earn glory? He is God the Son. Right. But he came and was born here as a man. Bible says, Isaiah tells us that there was nothing in him to draw us to him. There's nothing attractive. He had no glory in himself as he walked this earth. Born of a virgin, walked and had colds and got sick and never sinned. Reading from Revelation chapter 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep." And you can read the beginning of 5. I didn't have enough room for it to fit on the screen. "See the lion." That's who we're talking about, folks. We're talking about Jesus right there. Amen. "The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. This is the picture that I painted for you before. Standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers, are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. And they sang this song. It says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." See, God has glory, and Jesus earned glory by what he did on this planet. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen? Amen. This glory that Jesus earned was that praise and honor type of glory, that recognition of, look what he did. It is like Joe when he made the interception. It is like Josh when he throws the touchdown. Look what he did. That's like minor glory. Jesus gets the major glory because he did what no one else could do. Are you tracking with me? Two kinds of glory. That which you can give and that which you can get. The power of God that would emanate from him and be bestowed on those who would give him glory. Jesus lived a sinless life, positioned him to make a sacrifice, make a sacrifice that nobody else could make. Now, the Bible is filled with people who have received glory, received recognition. The woman who gave 2 pennies, put it in an offering. This woman has given more than anyone else. She made the Bible. There was a Roman centurion who had faith, who believed that Jesus could heal without even being present. He said, I have not seen such faith as this. Made the Bible. The Bible is filled. Hebrews 11. The honor roll of those who have received glory talks about Abraham, talks about Isaac, talks about Jacob, talks about Joseph, talks about Moses. And you think, I could never be like one of them. Talks about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute who saw the men that were coming in. They were spying out the land for the army of God. And she said, I would line up with you. She made the Bible. Amen. She's the, I believe, great-grandmother of King David. You're saying, I can't be like that. I can't make a change like that. Well, Rahab did. And if God can use a prostitute, I don't care what you've done today. Because David, King David, was a murderer. I don't care what you've done today. You can make a change. Amen. Find a new way to live and glorify God. Amen? Amen. Joe and I were driving the other day. Actually, Joe was driving or trying to drive. I made another effort at, because I'll tell you what, making a change to glorify God is going to take some change in your life. And so Joe was trying to drive this manual transmission, and it's good. I mean, you can be on the freeway and be in fourth gear, and it's just like having an automatic. Where it's hard is when you're stopping, especially if you're stopping on a hill. And so we're kind of coming up this hill down the street from my house, and there's this car coming down the slope. And there's Joe at the stop sign, coasting. Joe. And he's coasting right into the lane where the car is coming. Joe, stop! And he's like, oh, no, I don't got enough feet to stop, man. One's in the clutch, one's in the gas. And so luckily the other guy stopped, and he got it figured out, and we drove a little bit. And he says, Dad, I just need like 3 more times. 3 more times I could figure this out. And I believe him. Because he's concentrating. He wants to learn. My question for you today is, what's your focus? What's most important to you? What is your priority today? Because I'm wondering if it is to live to glorify God. If it is to put him number one in your life and to act in such a way. I'll tell you what, if you want to glorify God, there is a way that you can glorify God. You might be thinking, how can I do it? Gail, when are we going to move Sharon? Saturday? What's the date? 27th. Saturday the 27th. Religion that God considers pure and faultless. You can glorify God by helping this sick, heart diseased, blind lady move her stuff. That would bring glory to God. Doesn't that make you want to sign up for that? I hope it does. Are we good? Let's keep going. Glory on display. Jesus glorified God. John 17:4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Jesus came to glorify and bring glory to the Father. He completed a work. That work was to reveal his Father to those people around him. And he received honor, but he brought honor and glory, and he was brought praise, and he pointed people up to heaven and said, that's my dad. That's my dad who's doing it. He said, look at all the great stuff you're doing. It's not me who's doing it. It's my dad who's doing it, right? He said he's taking all that, and he is pointing it to heaven, and he says, my job as I am walking around until he got to the cross He had another job to do, is to glorify, to bring honor to my Father in heaven. It says that in John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. So Jesus said, when you had lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one that I claim to be, and I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. My question for you today is, what's your focus? He says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I want to glorify my Father in heaven. So what was the most important thing you did last week? What was your priority? Do you have a focus on God? Is that our focus? We see again, the Holy Spirit comes to do what? To bring glory and honor to Jesus. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and his purpose is to do what? To glorify the Son. And the Son's purpose was what? To glorify the Father. And that is our purpose. Amen. To follow in that and to bring glory to our Father. Jesus makes a request. Jesus has lived his life with one purpose, to bring glory to his Father in heaven. And he nears the cross. And he makes this request. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that he might glorify you. Here Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, and he is now requesting glory from the Father. This is not honor and recognition. This is power. He is saying, I am going through this incredible challenge. I am going through the cross. I'm going through crucifixion. I am going through temptation as the devil comes and tries to get me off track. I need glory. Why? He says, glorify your Son that your Son might glorify you. Right? Jesus says, give me power that I might be a better representative for you. Because when you give glory, you can get glory. Boy, I wish that thing wasn't making that noise right there. When you give glory, when you give honor and recognition, it is just like that coach giving the shoes to Joe. I mean, this kid can't play. This kid can't make any interceptions. He's got no shoes. I'm going to give this kid some shoes, not because I want him to have shoes, but I want the team to win. You see that parallel? When you give glory, when you have honor and recognition to your Father in heaven, he pours out his power and his presence on you so that you can be a better representative for him. When you give glory, you can get glory. Jesus preparing for the cross. Perhaps, arguably, one of the greatest acts of all time. You say, well, what else is there? There's creation. I think creation, nothing was created that was created without Jesus. Amen? I'll tell you what, he created and then he redeemed it. I think those two acts are parallel. Amen? I got to think, man, creation was a pretty tough thing. Cross is the cross, I think, is closer to us because we participated when we asked him to come into our lives and transform us. Amen? Jesus is going to the cross fully as a man. And he says, I can't make it on my own. I cannot do this on my own, Father. I need your power and I need your presence in my life to take me through. Jesus in himself, walking around the planet as a man, had no glory. And as we walk around, we have nothing. We cannot truly glorify God on our own. Till you ask the Lord to come into your life and transform you, you've got no way to glorify him. Jesus realized he couldn't make the cross on his own. And we need to realize when we are falling short because help is available to us. Amen? We did a lot of work this week. the preschool class has been enlarged by about 2/3 of what we plan to enlarge it. And the women's ministries have been kind enough to move their stuff around, and I've been trying to work and find spots to do their stuff. And we got finally everything out of Jean's closet that's been there for a while. And came time to pull out the wall. And I realized that I was over my head. So I called Mike Henson. I said, "Mike, you got to pull out the wall, man. I'm over my head." And he and Eliseo and Angelo and one other guy pulled that wall down in less than 2 hours and had it cleaned up. Eliseo was going, "Man, this guy's psycho. He's so fast." He goes, "I thought it was going to be 2 o'clock. Wow, it's not even 12. I realize when I'm falling short. When you realize that you are falling short, saying, "Lord, I so want to glorify you in my life," there is glory that is available to you to help you make it through. Amen. Amen? All right, we're almost done. Glory is our goal. Everybody here's goal, if you don't know, you should know, is glory. Romans 8:18, "I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." When? On judgment day. When you stand before Jesus and he is on the judgment throne, he is on the judgment throne, and he is going to be handing out, there's two different judgments. There's a judgment of condemnation. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means that you have surrendered your life to the Lord. You have said, "Lord, my life is not worth living. I'll give you my life if you give me yours." He makes that deal. You come to the white throne judgment, and he passes out rewards. He passes out glory. Paul says that we're going to meet him, and in a twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed, and we will be like him. And at that moment, we will receive his glory. That is our goal. Amen? That when we get to heaven, we will be transformed in that moment, and we will have eternal bodies that will live for eternity. Let me switch my page right here. Get on the right thing. When I get to heaven and I get to that reward spot, there is nothing more that I want to hear in my life than, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh, I live for that moment. I do live for that moment now, for that moment in the future. It is like when Mike comes in and he sees Julie Camacho and she says, "Man, that room looks so good. You guys did a great job." It's just like, yeah, that feels good. But to get that, I mean, and hearing it from Julie Camacho is fabulous. But hearing it from the Lord Jesus Christ as he sits on the throne, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh my. Does that sound good to anybody?
Yes.
Does that sound like it's worth helping some people move their stuff?
No problem.
Does that sound like it's worth doing some service down here, working the hard work, doing the hard thing? I think so. God wants you to do that. There's help that is available for you. It says 2 Corinthians, Paul talking, writing to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory." See, when you are out and your purpose in your life is to glorify God, what we are doing is reflecting God's glory to those around us. We are like an advertisement for him. The creation declares the glory of God. The creation is lined up on God, and so we are supposed to be lined up on God, shining and radiating his glory. My question for you is, what is your focus? What is the focus of last week, and what is going to be the focus of next week? Is it to be in balance with the Lord and to so glorify him that when people look at you and they say, "Wow, God is doing an incredible thing there"? Because if that's you, if that's you, get back here. He says that we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. That ever-increasing presence and power of God in our lives. My question for you is, do you have it? Do you, are you experiencing the glory of God? Because if the, how's your prayer life? Well, I don't really pray. How's your prayer life? Are you getting answers? Because if you aren't getting any glory, it's probably because you aren't giving any. That you are not a worthy recipient, that you are not a walking advertisement for Him, that you want to take all of His glory and turn it to yourself. Because there is a way that we block the glory of God. We try to take that glory and point it to ourselves. Because there is glory for today, is what we end with. John 14, 13 through 15. And I will do whatever you ask. This is Jesus talking. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son might bring glory to the Father. I want you working for me. It's like Joe's coach saying, you need some cleats? I got some cleats. I need you to make a play for you? No, for the team. And Jesus says, when you live for me, when you glorify my Father in heaven, you ask me anything. You ask me anything. When you're living to glorify my Father, I'll do anything you want because you're working for the team. So my question is, what's your focus? What's your purpose? What's your priority? What was your focus last week? If you're living for God, you can tell. You will have His glory. Your prayers will be answered. But maybe you're not. Sometimes our focus can get in the way. Sometimes our stuff gets in the way. Biggies in our culture, big ones, sexual immorality. I'm going to take and I'm going to use people for my comfort and good. Oh, that's so selfish. That'll blockade God's glory from falling down on you. You can start saying, you know what, I don't feel too good. I think I'm going to grab me a 40. Drunkards, it's real hard for drunkards to display the glory of God. That goes if you're on meth or smoking weed or eating mushrooms or snorting coke or smoking crack or whatever you're talking about. It is real hard if you're just focused on getting loaded to glorify God.
That's right. Amen.
I'll tell you what, you do that for a little while, it's real hard to glorify yourself. You don't look real good laying in a gutter. That's a barrier to the glory of God.
Amen.
You know what? Stealing, it's tough. It's tough when you're stealing to glorify God. Thieves don't glorify God. Barriers in our life. There's more, lying. Hard to glorify God if you're lying. Gossiping. God's not real pleased with gossips. Gluttons. Greedy. Barriers to God. All these things put a focus on me. And when the focus on me, it'll never be on Him. So what's your focus? Are you living to glorify God? Or are you living to glorify yourself? At least you can come on up. Because if you're living, our culture is filled with peoples who seek to glorify themselves. And they never receive the glory of God. So if your focus this morning is to glorify yourself, to be the focus of attention, to build yourself up, you're probably not going to have many answered prayer. Jesus says, I'll do whatever you want if you want to glorify my dad. I asked Leanne, where were you last night? She said, I was at home. I said, really? You know what she said? Well, she said it last night. She says she's deep cleaning her room. Now, I don't really understand deep cleaning. I know all you ladies probably understand. Oh, yeah, deep cleaning. Oh, yeah, deep cleaning. Cleaning is enough for me. You know, I just clean. I mean, I don't get the whole deep thing. I don't know. But you know what? You want to get rid of some of the barriers in your life, some of the barriers that are keeping the glory of God from coming down. Maybe you need to do a deep cleaning in your soul. Maybe some of that stuff, sexual immorality, the thieving, lying, gossiping, unforgiveness, resentment, anger, bitterness, rage, all in the book. People like this are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so as we come to prayer and the power of prayer, you're not experiencing the power of prayer because your life is totally misaligned. And this morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart. And He's saying, time to line up on me. I created the universe. It's totally in balance, totally lined up on me, except for this planet Earth, where I let men line up on whatever they want to line up on. And this morning, I am knocking on the door of your heart. I'm saying, time to get lined up on me. And we got these barriers in the way. Time to do a little deep cleaning. Time to make things right. Time to start glorifying me. I got some glory for you. But you got to live in such a way as to bounce it back towards me. Because if you give glory, you can get glory. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. Some of us feeling wonderful. Some of us feeling like mirrors reflecting your glory, Lord. We walk from day to day, Lord, and we are radiating, Lord, your glory. That you would come into our hearts and come into our lives, Lord, and make a bigger change, make a more dramatic change. And there are those that are here this morning that don't feel so good. The glory is not coming down, that my focus is not on the things of God, that my focus is indeed on the things that I would have, the things that I would do, my gain, my advancement. I want my stuff, and I don't really want to wait for it. Your prayers aren't answered. In fact, they're not even making it through the ceiling. Prayer says, James says, you don't receive because you don't ask. And when you ask for the wrong stuff. You're here this morning and the Lord is just on you saying, my child, I would love so much to pour out my life into your life. But there's these boundaries. There's these barriers that are in the way. The sex, the drugs, the gossip, the greed, the resentment, the bitterness. The rage. I'll take them. If you're given, I'll take them. But we can't go on. We can't have meaningful relationship until you line up on me. And this morning, in your heart, you know you're not lined up on the Lord. And this morning, the Lord is speaking your name, and He says, come to me, and you can find rest. With nobody looking around, God's speaking to you this morning, and He is saying, it's time to make a change. Time to line up on me. Nobody looking around, and God is speaking right to your heart, and you're saying, okay, Lord, I'm ready to make a change today. Everybody's in prayer. The Lord's speaking to your heart, and you just want to say, Lord, here I am. I want to be your servant. I have been serving me for so long. I want to make a change. I want to begin to serve you. And nobody's looking around. God's speaking to you. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, right here, Lord. I want to begin to serve you. You just slide your hand up right over here, right there. Right there. Say, Lord, that's me. That's me. Back there, I see your hand. You can put it down when I see it. Anybody else, say, that's me. Maybe you're here this morning and saying, I have done that, but I am just tripping up. Talk about the drugs, the sex, the anger and the unforgiveness and the resentment and the gossip and the gluttony and You got one. You might have two or three. And you're saying, Lord, oh Lord, I could use some power. I could use some help. I know it's going to be hard. But I'm asking you for the power to overcome this thing that's keeping me from glorifying you in my life. Nobody looking around. And the Lord is speaking right to your heart saying, if you would do this, this is the area right here. This is what your focus last week. I want to get a new focus for next week. You're here and you're ready to say, Lord, help me. I'm ready to change. I got one of these boundaries in my life. I got a fence that's keeping you out. I want to yank it down. You just say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to start working. You just slide that hand up. Right here, yeah. Right there, yeah. There, yeah. Back there, praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song. We're going to stand. You want to come forward and sing. It's fun. It's good. Glory to God. I think it's a little bit closer up here. It's good for you. Come on up. You want to pray, I'll pray with you. We're going to sing a song, maybe two. We're going to start singing. Worship team's going to come up in a moment. But seal this time with the Lord. You put your hand up. Come on up. I want to pray with you. You didn't put your hand up. You just want to come up and worship the Lord and give Him glory. We can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us sing.